In verse 1, he says, "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine." And in verse 2 is the verse I just want to briefly look at. Older men, fathers, are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, sound in love, and sound in perseverance. Six Greek words. Older men, fathers. Temperate. The idea of being sober-minded, not intoxicated. Interesting choice of words. The first on the list comes from a word, nephilos. Free from something negative. Free from controlling influences. Clear-minded fathers. There's to be a mental stability with fathers and with men. Clearly not the example that is occurring today across the globe. Men are made out to be foolish and unstable, not clear-minded, intoxicated, controlled by influences. Men are to be temperate, starting with the mind. Second, the second word is men are to be dignified. Semnous. They're to be honorable. Honorable. Honorable in their words, honorable in their minds, honorable in their character, honorable in their actions. They're to be honorable. First and foremost to God. We are honorable to God, the rest takes care of itself. Honorable. It has an idea of being a bit serious. Not taking everything as if it's a joke in life. Respectable. Deeply respectable. Almost like venerableness. Like a king. When the king walks in the room, there's an honorableness associated with that king. There's a majesty. Gravitas is a word that's often used with this term. There's something surrounding this person. There's an aura about this individual. It's because of who they are. It doesn't just focus on what they do, but it focuses on who this person is. And this should be our view of our Savior and our God first and foremost. If we have that in our hearts and minds, guess what? This is established deep in our souls as men and as fathers. Dignified. Third. Self-controlled, sensible, sensible. Sophronos, a sound mind. Again, getting back to the mind. A sound mind, chaste. A sound inner perspective that radiates outward. Chaste. And the idea isn't just to be controlled in here, but the idea is to control what comes out in the person's life. It wasn't like the Gnostics in the old days when they could separate the mind from the body. and it didn't matter because the two never came together. It didn't matter what you did in your body because that wasn't attached to the mind, and it was totally separate things. I feel like we've lost our self-control. Dignity doesn't matter anymore. Majesty doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we run aloft in our thoughts and our thinking. What's our perspective like? What do we think about at work? We feel something that radiates out of our thought or our feelings. Somebody walks past. Somebody cuts us off. Somebody says something we don't like how they said it. Self-control. Sensible. Begins here. Number four. Sound in faith. This is an interesting word. Hagios is somewhere in the root of this word, but this is a big word. And what's interesting about it is you can pull the word hygiene from this Greek word. We're to be healthy. Healthy in our hearts. Healthy in our minds. Healthy in our perspective. Healthy in what we focus on in life. So then maybe that involves some proper choices that we make in our lives. What we do with the thoughts that come in and out of our minds. What we do with the attitudes, how we respond. I was irritated yesterday. Man, I was irritated. You know, it's funny. At least I can laugh at myself and my irritation and my irritability this day and age. So here Laurie and I are driving down, and my old Drew calls her Betsy or Betty? Betty. So I had an accident in my truck some time ago. Somebody cut me off. I was pulling into a driveway, and there was this big concrete bollard that was only so high, and I couldn't see it. So I cut out of the way, and I heard this screech. And I thought, oh, man. And it just cut into the side of my passenger door, and it looked like this. And so I got it fixed, and I had to get a door online, you know, and I got one from a junkyard, a friend who works there. And the door on the side of the door, it says Betty. And it stands out because it kind of looks like the rest of the truck, but it's painted a little different. It's just all different, but... So anyways, there Gloria and I are driving down the road yesterday, you know, with Betty. And we're going along, and all of a sudden on the dash, gauge light comes on. Check gauges. And it's flashing, you know, it's flashing. And then the second one comes on. Check the battery. So gauges and the battery, they're flashing and flash. And then another one comes on. Check the electrical system. I'm thinking, what in the world? And so we're going along, I'm hitting the gas, you know, we're just driving along. I'm thinking, okay, we'll get through it. But then I started thinking, I thought, you know, what if the airbags just blow up in here on us? What if something causes the truck to go off the road and I hit somebody and kill them? And then I'm thinking, now I'm getting serious. And then I'm starting thinking, oh, what in the world? But the truck seems to be driving fine. All of a sudden, the total dash went blank. Nothing. The gas gauge is down to nothing. The battery, dead. And I'm driving along, and the battery's dead. Engine's still running. And we're going along. Laurie said, let's call Andrew. Maybe he can come pick us up at Steffi's garage, and I'll just pull in there. So we're between New Holland and Bearville. And I'm driving and praying, Lord, get us there. Just get us there. And all of a sudden, I hear it sputter, sputter. And the gauge just flashed on. And we got going again. I said, yes. And all of a sudden it went dead. And I'm just eking this thing out. Maybe I can coast for 5 miles through Leola to get to Steffi's. So we didn't make it. We got to Achenbach. It's a great place to go down. If you got to go down at Achenbach. So anyways, we called Andrew. He came, picked us up, and we got the thing turned around, and I called somebody and come pick up the truck. Man, I was irritated. You know, that stuff just irritates you. It just cuts into your plans, my plans. But, you know, we were okay. We got a son at home. He come pick us up. And we got back. And so I left a tip for the guy that came and picked the thing up. And I called him an hour and a half, 2 hours later. And he said, yeah, I got it there. It's down there locked. Okay, great, thanks. So we made it home safe. But, you know, sometimes God puts these surprises in our lives to help mature our faith. And we don't like them too much sometimes. But they're there for, no matter how insignificant in our life it may be, they're there for a good reason. To show us that we're progressing a little bit in our responses and our maturity, or hopefully not digressing a little bit. But it happens. What's our hygiene like in our faith? Are we healthy? Are we maturing? When those things come along that surprise us, how's our response? Some days I just can't wait to get to see the Lord, because then I don't have to worry about it anymore. I'm there. I'm beyond all the surprises. What's our hygiene like with regard to our faith? Are we growing? Are we maturing? If we're in His Word, we're growing and maturing. Do you know that? If our perspective is becoming more and more Christ-like, we're maturing, regardless of this stuff here, regardless of the Betty circumstances in your life. Sound in faith, sound in love, agape. Some of you are going through very long health situations. Long. Years long. Some of you may be going through things that we don't even know about. Some of you may be going through spiritual battles that are long. You're fighting. You're fighting something. You're struggling. You're struggling to trust. You're struggling to rest in the promises of Scripture. You're struggling to just be able to put this together and say, okay. You're struggling. Sound in love. Thank the Lord. His love rises above all of it. And that He carries us through life. I'm always reminded of the picture on the poster where you see the two footprints go down to one set of footprints. Reminiscent of His love for us. Him carrying us. Him caring for us. Maturity says, where are you, Lord? Immaturity says, where are you, Lord, during those times? Maturity says, thank you for carrying me when I can't handle this stuff myself. Maturity says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. It only comes through this book. Only. Agape. And I don't want to be personal with an illustration, but I was speaking with someone this morning, and I have to tell you, as imperfect as I always believed and felt my mom and dad were, I'm seeing a taste of agape in my dad with my mom. sacrificial love that can't be explained other than God. Sacrificial. He loved us while we were yet sinners. Barely would a man die for someone, let alone die for someone that really irritates me. Agape love. I think these are all measurements of our maturity and our growth as men, as fathers. Agape. Agape. Preferring one over the other. During the love feast in the early church, there was a real problem where the poor folks were pushed out of the way so that the rich could have the majority of the attention, the majority of the feast, and the majority of the glory associated with it. But a true love feast was where the rich would provide for the poor. Bring them in, feed them, and give them front row of preference. That's agape. There's a benevolence that comes from agape love that we see in Christ, that as we grow and mature in our walk with our Father, resonates within our being, in our heart, in our mind, and makes what once seemed impossible, possible in our lives as we live from day to day. To love the unlovely. To give when it's not possible to give. To care when you don't feel like caring. To cherish that which is ugly. This is all perfection that we have received from our Father in Christ. It's amazing. As men, how do we perceive who we are in Christ as men? It is crucial that we maintain a sense of stability and proper mindset and benevolence as we walk through this life, not allowing the peripheral junk that's going on to sway us so that we have a straight course and our eyes are focused on our Father. Finally, sound and endurance. John has mentioned over the years this word for us over and over again. It is rampant throughout the Gospel of John. Hupomone. Hupo is under. Meno is to abide. To abide under. Whether you're abiding under pressure, a test, a conflict, a struggle, you remain fixed. And you remain focused and committed to Him. To your family. To your wife. To your sons and daughters. Because that's where God has placed you. Isn't it interesting that the term He uses to obey is actually a term that refers to abiding under something? So while we're the head, we remained under something and in a submissive heart and attitude serve. It's an interesting concept. We don't lord it over people as fathers and as men. We serve while abiding under them. Interesting concept for a leader. But that's true obedience. And our greatest example is our Savior, who abided under the command of his Father and went to the cross. And he served the unlovable. Sound in adornance. This is the sixth and final thing that Titus says. When I watched this movie again this morning, it reminded me of abiding under. There's this dad who's a staunch military man carrying his son through hours and hours and hours of gruel, painstaking racing. And you know, did you hear why he did that? Did you catch what he said? I'm just legs because my son wants to do it. Isn't that incredible? I'm just his legs. I'm thankful that our Savior and Lord was our legs for us and is today through his Spirit and through truth. We can continue to understand and grow and mature as we learn his truth and learn about the God and Father who is our ultimate example, spiritually speaking, in life. Old men, temperate, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, sound in love, and sound in endurance. What six incredible qualities that as men and fathers, we have the blessing of having and growing inside of us. Protect them. Do you notice that what he says in verse 1, but as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. And then he goes into this whole tirade with older men, older women. I think that's how we pray. I think that's how we study Scripture. I think that's how our heart and our focus should be daily reminded on a daily basis. Lord, keep me sober-minded. Lord, keep me honorable. Lord, control me. Control me. Make me solid in your faith, in your faithfulness. Grow your love in me and help me to see and perceive and understand this agape, that it becomes a daily part of my life. And as life continues, help me to endure under the hardships, under the storms, under the pressures, under everything you bring our way. Keep me abiding in you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this incredible day, and thank you for the dads and the fathers and the husbands, the grandfathers and the great-grandfathers. Thank you for the truth that you teach us, Father, in Scripture and your Word. Thank you for the lives of others who have gone through things that we gain from and that we are encouraged by and strengthened by, motivated by. But make these truths go deep into our being and in our minds, that they change the experience of our lives and our heart's responses, so that it's more than an emotional fray that we are following, but that we see beyond that and we see that this is all focused and based on our relationship with you, your sovereignty and your grace, and what you are doing in us to mature us and to mold us and make us into the image of your Son. And we do look forward one day to being with you so that we will grasp who we truly are in Christ and what your intent has been all along in redeeming us by your grace. Thank you that you will go with us today. Thank you for all the men here. Make us men of honor that honor you most of all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you.